It's important from time to time that I remind people that I am a widower, that I have children and grandchildren, just to avoid scandal when I tell my stories, because I wanted to tell you today about my grandson Gabriel. About 3 years ago, Gabriel made his first communion, just prior to my ordination as a priest. Gabriel was going to his first confession. He didn't really want to go, but he had to go to his first confession so that he could go to his first communion. And we were talking about it, and he said to me, "Granddad, just think. If you were already a priest, you could hear my confession." Well, that caught me off guard. And I told him, after I thought about it for a minute, I said, "You know, Gabe, I want to be your granddad, not your confessor. I think it's better for you to go to another priest." And then something wonderful happened, but absolutely normal what it was. His father had not been in the room. When John came walking through the room, headed for the front door, "Come on, Gabe, let's go." John was going to confession, and Gabe just got up, followed his father out. They went to confession. It was such a normal act. Boy followed dad out the door to go to the church to go to confession. I've thought about that a lot. And the lesson for me is fabulous. If you want your children to go to confession, just go yourself. Take them with you. That's about the easiest catechesis on planet Earth. You go, they will go. You go often and regularly, they will go often and regularly. That's the way it works. Kind of like going down to the grocery store. You never get a fight that way. There's not a Catholic school or religious education program on planet Earth that is more effective than that simple lesson. You can talk about the sacrament of confession with priests and theologians and catechists until you're blue in the face. There is simply nothing more effective than just going and doing it as a family. Perhaps the most common objection I hear about confession is the complaint, I know none of you have ever said this, but why do I have to tell my sins to a man? Why can't I just talk to God? Now, there's a problem with that question. It doesn't come from Scripture. There's no place in Holy Scripture you can find an example or a teaching, "Oh, just go out in the woods and confess your sins to God. Or stand on a mountaintop, or you and God, take care of your sins." There's nothing in Scripture about that. God knows we need a little more accountability. And that's why He sent His only Son to be with us as a human being. He came to call sinners. He came to forgive us our sins. Four of the seven sacraments deal with forgiveness of sins, including baptism, reconciliation, anointing of the sick, and Eucharist. We often forget about Eucharist as forgiving sin. When we go to Holy Communion, our venial sins are forgiven. Jesus said in his words of the consecration, not ours, his words, "This is my blood, which will be poured out for the forgiveness of sins." If you're still struggling with the question of why tell your sins to a priest, it should be enough to simply recall that Jesus told us to. And then the Apostle James was telling us in his writings to confess our sins to one another. That's in Scripture. God gave the role of forgiveness of sins to Jesus. Jesus gave the authority to forgive sins to the apostles and to the church. Why confess your sins to a priest? Because God knew we needed to be held accountable. Jesus told the church, "Whose sins you forgive will be forgiven." That is our Catholic faith, and it's really good scripture. It's pretty simple. Let's just remember, there is no place in Holy Scripture that says you individually go confess your sins to God. Can't find it. But there are many places that refer or teach about confessing through people sent by God or through each other. In that first reading from 2 Samuel, God uses his prophet Nathan to chastise and hold accountable the great King David for his sinful behavior. Now, King David, he had tremendous faith in God. He's used as an example of great fidelity to God, great faith. But he got a little carried away with himself once in a while. And even though he had several wives, he fell in love with another man's wife. And she conceived a child by King David. And then David had the woman's husband killed. And God says to David through his prophet Nathan, "You have cut down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife as your own." Now today we have a real good vocabulary for that. We call it adultery and murder. That's what David was guilty of. Now, David didn't feel at all held accountable until the prophet Nathan confronted him. And he had to look Nathan in the eyes. When confronted, David did not try to hide it. Instead, he admitted his great sins to God's prophet immediately, saying, "I have sinned against the Lord." David did not make excuses or try to trick God or Nathan. He simply took personal responsibility for his actions and said, "I did it. I was wrong." Now, in the confessional, a lot of times I'll hear, this is fairly frequent, people will come in and say, "Father, I have sinned and I'm really ashamed about this, but let me tell you why I did it." Kind of miss the point. It's more important to say, "I did it. I was wrong. I want God to forgive me." And Nathan told David the same thing you and I hear in the confessional when we confess our sins. And he said to David, "The Lord on his part has forgiven your sin." It's a very simple example, and a very early example, the way we practice the sacrament of reconciliation today. In the gospel, we see Jesus challenging the Jewish concept of sin. Here's this Pharisee, and he cannot see the faith of the sinful woman, but only her sinfulness as unclean under the law. Now, for the sinful, contrite woman, she, like King David, knows her sin and is genuinely, honestly, deeply concerned and sorry for her sins. And she's grieved by her sin, and like King David, she believes God can forgive her sins no matter how great. Moreover, she has faith that Jesus can forgive them. The Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee, on the other hand, cannot even see his own weaknesses. The Pharisee represents an immature adult spirituality. We see it all the time. He was a devout follower of the law, but he can't see that he was a poor, inconsiderate host. He can't see that he's a sinner. He can't see the woman's faith. He can only see the woman's sins. He's morally blind, and his heart is closed. And Jesus thought at that time, Jewish thought at that time, saw sinfulness as something you got from coming in contact with unclean, sinful persons. So the best way to remain clean was to isolate yourself from the unclean. And the sinful woman scandalizes the Pharisee. Jesus shows Simon his moral blindness when he tells the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman, Simon? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet." This is a pretty common practice of hospitality in those days and in that part of the world. But he told Simon, "But she's bathed them with tears and wiped them with her hair. Simon, you did not give me a kiss." Common form of greeting among those peoples. "But she's not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil." Another sign of hospitality in that part of the world. "But she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love." Simon, on the other hand, is shown what a small man he really is and how little love he has for anyone but himself. Simon needed to be held accountable. Here's the Son of God telling the judgmental Pharisee, "Simon, the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. It's time to wince." This was Jesus exposing a morally shallow person. Forgiveness requires humility, contrition. You must say, "I have sinned." It must be sincere and honest and from a desire to receive God's forgiveness. Jesus came to forgive sins, and he gave the church the authority to forgive sins. God will not forgive sins if we don't ask for it. Like King David and the sinful woman, we must ask for forgiveness and say, like King David, "I did this," without any excuses. Forgiveness is available to us when we approach the church and tell the priest our sins, as the Apostle James tells us. And we are assured when Jesus himself grants forgiveness through the priest, Jesus' representative on earth, we are assured, as promised to the church, our sins will be forgiven. That's the promise. The words of the priest are not his own. They're not my words. They're Jesus' words. Jesus acting through the priest in the sacrament, when the priest says in the confessional, "Through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace, and I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Don't be blind. Go. Confess your sins. The church teaches us to confess at least once a year, if not more often. Take your children if you have them.